Starting in the early 1950s, at the time the French were losing the First Indochina War, the Thai Dom sect of Southeast Asians began looking for a place to settle.
We came from northwest of Vietnam. We were refugees in Hanoi, North Vietnam, during the French War. Then after Vietnam divided into North and South, so we evacuated to Laos.
That's Hung Bakam. He was just 12 years old at the time. His harrowing journey from the ravages of war to a simple one-story house in a quiet working-class neighborhood of Des Moines began on a chaotic airport tarmac while trying to stay close to his parents.
My older sister and I was kicked out of the airplane. Then we ran to another airplane. So luckily we was brought in the airplane.
Flash forward to 1975, the end of the Vietnam War. Bakam and many of his fellow Thai Dom had spent 20 years in refugee camps in Laos. But that country also fell under communist rule. The Thai Dom, who were sympathetic to Western interests in the region, had nowhere to flee.
At that time, when we was in refugee camp, no country accept us.
This is where the focus of the story shifts to Iowa. With the aid of an American diplomat named Arthur Crisfield, the Thai Dom put out a call for help. The former ambassador to Cambodia, Ken Quinn, who was on the National Security Council at the White House in 1975, explains what happened next.
They wrote a letter to every governor in the United States saying, "Won't you please take us in as a people and resettle us?" And the only one who answered was Governor Bob Ray of Iowa.
Quinn is now president of the Des Moines-based World Food Prize Foundation. But his boss back then was Secretary of State Henry Kissinger. As the U.S. government prepared for an influx of Southeast Asian refugees, it installed a policy that prevented large groups of them from landing in the same spot. Quinn says the Thai Dom wanted to stay together.
There was a fairly small number of them, and if they were to be scattered around, they would not have anybody else to interact with. And so their culture would be lost, all of the things that would provide stability for them.
Quinn says that's when Governor Ray came to bat for them. The longtime Republican chief executive of the state was unable to be interviewed for this story because of a bout of illness. But Quinn, who eventually worked in the governor's office to help with resettlement, says Ray convinced U.S. officials that bringing the Thai Dom to Iowa as one group was the right thing to do.
It's to his credit that, one, he was willing to accept them, and number two, that he was then willing to go and fight for it in Washington and successfully convince the U.S. government to make a big exception. And it's their credit that they were flexible enough to do that.
The governor established a task force for refugee resettlement and housed it at the agency now known as Workforce Development. In October of 1975, the first plane carrying 300 Thai Dom refugees landed at the Des Moines airport. Hung Bakam was on the second aircraft that arrived a month later. Even with the promise of a unified presence in Iowa, he says the Thai Dom were scattered across the state.
Then we split at that time, everybody crying, very, very, very miserable.
Since he could speak some English, Hung Bakam immediately landed a job serving as a liaison between the Thai Dom and the state. The situation was much different for Bonchai Bakam. He was 14 when he was sent to the western Iowa town of Denison with no ability to communicate.
The hard thing is the language. You know, the language is very hard for us, you know, for me.
He says his struggles with English in the early days led to some awkward moments with his host family.
Funny thing is, when I got there, arrived there, and the son of the sponsors, you know, he was saying hi, you know. I can't even know what he's saying. You know, I thought he was mad at me, you know. He's, hi, in my language, it means angry.
Bonchai Bakam is now in his early 50s and speaking from the grounds of an 85-acre Thai Dom village under development near a pond in a wooded area on the north side of Des Moines. The location, with its surrounding hills, reminds him of that faraway swath of land in the northwest corner of Vietnam that the Thai Dom once called home. Most of the 8,000 Thai Dom who still live in Iowa have migrated to Des Moines. That accounts for between 80 and 90% of the total Thai Dom population living in the U.S. After being uprooted more than once by world conflicts, the Thai Dom have found a place to stay. Again, the now 72-year-old Hung Bakam.
I hope the Thai Dom, the young generation, when they graduate college, they will be able to find a job in Iowa or in Des Moines, so they continue the big society here.
The presence of the Thai Dom in Iowa opened the gates to waves of other Southeast Asian refugees. Not all Iowans embraced the newcomers. A Des Moines Register poll in the late 1970s showed 51% of those asked opposed resettlement. But as Governor Ray remembered during an Iowa public television documentary about the Thai Dom, overall, citizens opened their arms and hearts to the refugees. He said it made him so proud of his state. In Des Moines, I'm Rob Dillard, Iowa Public Radio News.